I mentioned last week that I was going to put our Ephesians series on hold and go into a few new things over the next couple of weeks, and felt like God leading and directing to do that. So I'm going to preach today on praise, and I mentioned that last week. I want to turn your attention to Psalm 150, and I will be somewhere in between preaching and teaching, and I'm going to use Psalm 150, the last psalm in the book of Psalms. It says this: praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And if you want to do that right now, why don't we do that? Why don't we give the Lord praise? However you feel, Jesus, thank You for who You are. God, we magnify Your name today. We magnify Your name today. We give You praise. We give You praise. And I'm going to preach a little bit today on this thought, the priority of praise, the priority of praise. And you never know who's going to be in a service. God knows. And so here we are. And what I mentioned last week, I'll tell you what, why don't you go ahead and be seated. What I mentioned last week was that I use the word praise quite a bit. We sing it in songs. We see the word praise in Scripture, and wanted to delve into that. And some who are not here that may need to know a little bit, I'll convince them to listen to it after the fact. I mean, it's bad enough in person, but having to listen to it after the fact. But we'll see what I can do. But I felt led to do on praise. And people, when they get an award, there are people that are usually presenting the award to them, and they will come up and they will say all kinds of good and great things about them and about how they deserve this award. And no doubt this past week, and I was out of town all week and did not go to the parade or see much of the coverage of the Chiefs, but I'm sure every opportunity, people were praising the players for how good they did and praising the coaches for how good they did. And they played exceptionally well, had a great season, great Super Bowl. And I'm glad we almost prayed for them last week. I don't know that they needed it, but we almost did that. But when someone is getting an award or getting accolades, that in essence is praise, where you're talking good about someone and saying good things about them or great things about them. You are talking about their accomplishments. This is probably done in no other way and no better way than at funerals, when people get up and the person is deceased and they begin to talk about their life and who they were and the great things that they accomplished and the great person that they were. That in essence is giving someone praise. So at its essence, praise is giving God accolades. It is talking and saying good things about God, about who He is and about what He has done. That is praise. The book of Psalms is really a book of songs. It is a book of songs that are primarily praise to God. There are psalms in there that are not necessarily praise to God, where they are basically asking God to move in and destroy your enemies or do various things. But by and large, the book of Psalms, it is a book of praise songs to God. So David is the writer of Psalm 150. He is a singer, a songwriter, a musician, a shepherd, a king. And he writes the passage that we read today. It is known as, by many, it is the primary passage that people turn to when they talk about praise, because it ends with that phrase, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord," which leaves nobody out. If you're dead, you don't have to praise, but if you're alive, then you are to praise God. So I'm going to go through and answer a few questions today, and this is kind of where it's in between that preaching and teaching. Things such as what is praise and who should praise and when should we praise God and where should we praise God and why should we praise God and how should we praise God and what happens when we praise Him. I will delve into all of those. So starting with this, the question, what is praise? And we use it all the time. It is simply this, the expression of adoration toward God. It is simply us telling God about how much we love Him or how much we appreciate what He has done for us. It is offering thanksgiving. It is offering worship. It can take many forms, but at its essence, it is extolling the greatness of who God is. And aren't you glad that we serve a God who is far beyond us? He's not like we are. He is far beyond what you and I are able to do. His thoughts are high above our thoughts. His ways are far beyond our ways. And because of that, we can extol His greatness and we can talk about who He is and how great He is. We can pay homage to God. That is, in essence, what praise is. It takes many forms. But before I get into that, the question of who is to praise God, and I've already answered that. In essence, all of creation is to praise God. Isaiah says this, he says, the trees clap their hands. It is poetry, but it is what in the passage in Isaiah where he talks about this, is that if people are not praising God, that all of creation really is praising God, that when the trees are blowing in the breeze, what they're doing is they are giving God praise. It's recognizing. You can look at the trees and the wind blowing them, and you can recognize and see that there is a God, and He has created all of this. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he says, all you have to do is look at creation, and you know that there is a God. That the creation itself, because of its magnitude, because of its awesomeness, because of its beauty, when you look, you know that it didn't just happen, that there is a God. And it expresses its praise in a variety of ways. And I realize it's poetic, but the creation praises God. The psalmist said this way, that if I don't praise God, that a rock would cry out and praise. God is able to do that, that He's able to make, He is looking for praise. And if we don't do it, His creation will do it. That a rock, an inanimate object, He can make that rock cry out and praise Him. But the psalmist said it. He ended, as I said already, with this. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That means every living person is to praise God. It's not optional. It's not, well, if you feel good or you're feeling great today and no problems, praise God. But at all times, we should praise God. That in, no matter what's going on, we should praise God. The writer said this, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, Psalm 113 and 3, but from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sun, that you and I should praise God, that the name of the Lord is to be praised. That we're to praise Him at all times. That means we're to praise Him when things are going good. We're to praise Him when things are going bad. And you can come up with any variety of ways, but that's pretty much it. It's either good or bad. And whatever time it is, we're to praise God. That there is no time when God is not worthy of praise. I have this tendency, when things are good, and I may have mentioned this before, but when things are good, I just kind of go through life. It's not that I don't pray. It's not that I don't read my Bible. It's not that I don't do what I'm supposed to do. But if things are good, I kind of coast. And there are people go one of two ways. They either do what I do or they don't. And so what I do when things are good, I don't pray as fervently. I'm just coasting. When things get bad, that's when, man, I turn up the prayer. And I'm like, oh, God, I got to have your help. And sometimes people are the opposite. When things are good, they're worshiping and they're praising God and they're excited about what God is doing. And things get bad and then they quit praising. And I've thought about that and questioned that since we came to plant this church. I've thought about a lot of things that I'd never thought about. Been in full-time ministry for over 20 years before I came here. It was a different type of ministry, and so you just think about different things. It's, as I mentioned, I was at a Bible college. I was running our denomination's publishing house. It was different than a local church. But when I came, I started thinking a lot more about questions and doing evangelism and trying to connect with people and get them to connect with God. And I thought about what they say is that when people come to God, they usually come to God for the first time when they're in some kind of transition or when there's some kind of tragedy or trauma going on in their life. Then when something bad is going on, they decide that they want to come and look for God. There are other people, and sometimes it's even those same people, they come to God when things are bad, but after serving God for a while, when things get bad again, they walk away from God. And maybe it's because they anticipate God taking all of their problems away, but He doesn't do that. And what I would tell you today, that when we're to praise God is pretty much at all times, when it's good or when it's bad, He is always worthy of praise. He is always worthy of adoration. He is always worthy to be extolled for His greatness. There are two places where we're to praise God. Only two. When we're at church and when we're not. So if you're at church, it's time to praise God. And when you're not at church, it's time to praise God. And many people, they only praise God when they're at church. You wouldn't know that they were a Christian outside of the time they're at church on a Sunday or midweek service or whatever it happens to be. They go through their life and they're just like everybody else. And church is what they, Sunday, that's when they're serving God and that's when they praise God. But we are to praise God at all times. We are to praise God at all places, not just at church, but anytime, wherever we are. So how are we to praise God? And this is where people sometimes disagree. They disagree on how praise should be done. I visited a number of different churches when we were in the process of launching. And so I would typically go to an early morning service somewhere, and then we would go to the church that we were attending. Sometimes I would get there just in time for the worship service. And I watched all manner of churches and how they interacted. Now, we're a young church, new church, small church, and we're a Pentecostal church. So you will see me and hear me pushing for people to clap their hands, lift their hands, pray for their neighbor, do a lot of things that are typically Pentecostal, typically apostolic. But in most of the churches that I visited, there was very little of what we would call praise. Very little of what we would call worship. And worship and praise are linked together. They're not necessarily synonyms. A lot of times we use them synonymously. But I went to churches where the only people singing were the people on the platform. Now the sound, I could hear Dathan singing today from over there, and I was like, man, that dude's got a good voice. And so I'm trying to sing with him, and I was like, man, I got a bad voice. But I could hear Dathan and I could hear others singing. There are churches where I went to where the congregation didn't sing. They would stand if they were told to, and I could show you pictures, and it's, they're either holding their coffee and they're just looking around or hands in their pockets. They're there for a variety of reasons, and I don't want to put reasons in their mind without talking to them, but they were there and other people were doing the praising. They weren't praising God. They're just standing there. Nobody lifting their hands, nobody clapping their hands. Went to another church, and it was a new church plant, a guy I know through the Chamber of Commerce, and so I went and visited this church, a non-Pentecostal church, and on two occasions, the people clapped their hands. When the worship leader pushed them to clap their hands, and they did it for one time through the course, and everybody clapped. And then once they were done with that piece of the course, that was it. But they were mostly spectators. And church is not a spectator sport. Church is not, we just show up and we see what happens on the platform and we see how good the preacher does. But church is called, it is gathering to worship. It is gathering to praise God. It is that we are not just to watch other people praise God. We're to participate and join in, and that we're to praise and worship God. And we do that numerous ways. You can do that through the singing of songs. You can do that through clapping your hands. You can do that through lifting your hands. It can just be verbal. It doesn't have to be a lot of outward demonstration. And there's nothing wrong with outward demonstration. And if you're Pentecostal, that's part and parcel of usually what takes place. But it doesn't have to be that. It could just be verbal. But it, in essence, it could just be those words of adoration where we're saying, God, you are great. God, I love you. God, I thank you for this. God, I'm so grateful that you saved me. God, I'm so grateful that you are far beyond me. Where you're using your words of adoration and love, in essence, you are praising God just with your voice. It could be in a shout. You see that throughout the Old Testament, that they would praise God with a shout. And that doesn't necessarily mean a dance. But they praise God in the Old Testament and the New Testament in the dance, where they're exuberant and they're jumping up and down. And I'm not going to do that because I have Achilles tendon problems that don't seem to want to go away. I should have requested prayer for myself. But there are all kinds of ways to praise God. And you see this, not praising God, but you see people praising on Sundays at the football stadium. That's what they're doing. They're cheering on their player, and they're talking about, man, did you see Mahomes? Did you see what he did? How awesome he is? They're giving Mahomes praise. And when it comes to football, he should get accolades. He's good. He does things almost nobody else is doing. But when we're praising God, it's that same way. Let me tell you what Jesus did. Let me tell you how great he is. And sometimes you're telling others and you're praising God that way, and sometimes you're just telling him. But whatever it is, whether it's clapping your hands, whether it's jumping up and down, whether it's shouting with a voice of triumph, as the psalmist says, however it is, you can praise God, and you should praise God, and maybe at no better time than when we're gathered together corporately, when we can see what God is doing, that he's not just working in me, but he's working in others as well. And we can praise God for what Josh had to say in his testimony, that we're praising God for his provision and for his protection, for his deliverance. So why are we to praise God? I'm going to give a number of things here. We are to praise God just because he is the creator and we are the creatures. And by definition, that means that he is greater than we are. By definition, that means that we are subject to him. By definition, that means that he is in charge and we are not. And so he is worthy of praise. We're to do that, we're to praise God because of who he is, that he has all power, that he is infinite, that he fills all space and all time. We're to praise him for that. We're to praise him because of what he has done. Has God ever done anything for you? That God is at work in our lives and he is doing things all of the time. We like to, a lot of times we talk about the big things, and I could tell you of when God has healed me, or when I've been in places where God has healed people, or when God has used me, when I've laid hands on people to be healed, and those are awesome and those are great. I could tell you of when God protected people, or when he protected me. and he kept people from harm. But the reality is that it's not just those big things that we know of, but God is at work all of the time. And we, most of the time, have no idea what God keeps us from and what he protects us from and how he keeps us from getting sick so he doesn't need to heal us, or how he keeps us from getting injured, or he keeps us from getting fired, and he's providing by keeping us in that job. He's not just giving us a new one. God is at work all the time in our lives, and he is worthy of praise because of what he has done. But he's also worthy of praise because of what he will do. And God likes to be praised in advance when we say God. And the reason he likes to be praised in advance is because it's a faith thing. That I can thank God in advance for what he's going to do because I have faith that he will do it. And he responds to faith. And when I say, God, I thank you that tomorrow you're going to provide for me, or tomorrow you're going to take care of me, or you're going to heal me. You haven't done it yet, but you're going to do this. It's a faith thing. And he responds to faith. That when I put our faith in him, God begins to move and he begins to work. He begins to operate. Sure, no doubt you have stories of how God has brought healing, brought provision, brought protection. Right here in Kansas City, I was actually in Independence. I've probably told this story, but it's a pretty cool story. So I'll tell it again. And it's not just cool because it happened to me. I was working for Nolan Road Auto Parts. Have I told that story? I was working for Nolan Road Auto Parts. I was 19 years old at the time, and living in Blue Springs, working in Independence. And my job was to take auto parts to various mechanic shops. And if we didn't have them, to go and pick up auto parts from other parts stores and then take them to these various mechanic shops. And so I was in this blue Ford F-150. This would have been 1991. Wasn't wearing my seatbelt. Listening to the radio. Just pulled out of, I think, an O'Reilly Auto Parts on 24 Highway. And I'm looking down and I'm changing the station to find something else. This is before cell phones and all that. You know, you had to listen to the radio. And I'm changing the station. No seatbelt on. Busy road. And as I'm looking down, the engine cuts off, the radio cuts off, everything instantly silent. And when that happened, I look up, and sitting right in front of me is another vehicle that was trying to get across that busy road, and they got stuck in that busy road. They were sitting in my lane, and as soon as I looked up, the engine started, the radio came back on. And there is no doubt and no question in my mind that God protected me. Had that not happened, I would not have looked up and I would have plowed into that vehicle with no seatbelt on and probably died that day. And it's easy to praise God when you know what he's doing and you have these great things. Like, he protected me and he's done this. But he does things all the time that we never see and we never realize. He is worthy of praise. Why don't we give God some praise right now? Jesus, we praise you for who you are, for what you have done, Lord, for all the things we know that you've done, and for all the things we don't even know about that you've done. God, you are great and greatly to be praised. Why are we to praise? We're to praise God because things happen when we praise God. Someone said this, praise isn't like the caboose that just follows what happens, but it's more like the engine of a train that makes things happen. That praise is not just what you do after the fact. Praise is sometimes what you do before the fact that leads God to do things and to make things happen. And when we praise God, the focus moves to God and not ourselves. When you're having a problem, it's real easy to focus on what's going wrong. And it's real easy to have a pity party. But when you focus on, when you begin to praise God, it takes your focus off of your problem and puts it on God, who can solve your problem. All of your problems pale in comparison to who God is when you begin to praise Him. When you think about how great He is and how awesome He is, that your problem is so small and so insignificant that you know that God can take care of it. The writer said this, "I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." Then instead of looking at my problem and focusing on my problem, I'm going to look to the God who is able to take care of my problem and to solve my problem. And even if He doesn't, I'm going to praise Him and I'm going to give Him adoration because I know that He can. And one other thing I know is this, that if God chooses to not take care of my problem, it's because He knows more than I do. And He knows that maybe I need this problem for a little while. Maybe the answer is not no. Maybe it's just wait, or maybe it's just a little while. But whatever it happens to be, God will take care of it if it's in my best interest. Somebody said this, the will of God is what you would choose if you knew all the details. And sometimes we pray or we praise and we go, man, I praise, now God, let's get to work. And He doesn't do that. But He has all the details. And when He doesn't work like I think He ought to work, I should be able to trust Him that He's working all things together for my good. That He's taking care of it even when I can't see how He's doing it. I can't see why He's doing it. But I'm going to praise Him anyway. And I'm not going to get discouraged because He doesn't do what I want Him to do. When we praise, we are brought into God's presence. The psalmist said, God inhabits the praises of His people. And what that verse really means, if you look at the word inhabit, is that He is enthroned on the praises of His people. That He doesn't just show up in the room, but He is enthroned on the praises of His people. And when someone is enthroned, what that means is that they're the king. That they're sitting on the throne, that you're putting them in their rightful place. And when we praise God, He is enthroned on those our praises because we are in essence saying, you are the one who is worthy. You are the one who is awesome. You are the one who is deserving to be sitting on the throne. No matter what my problem is, when I praise You, You are ruling and reigning in my life. You are ruling and reigning in my situation. That God shows up and He is enthroned on our praise. He is reasserted as the king in our life. There are times when I've thought I was pretty awesome. There are times when I would go through life. Some of you are laughing like you don't think I'm pretty awesome. But it's part of the fallen human condition. It's part of who we are as. And most of us here are American. It's part of who we are that we don't need somebody else to help us. We can do it by ourselves. And there are times when I've been that way and I don't ask God for help because I got this. God, I'll let You know when I need You. Anybody else been there besides me? And so I go through life sometimes and I do that. But when I praise Him, it can't be about me because when I'm praising Him, He is once again reasserted as King in my life. He's once again, I'm saying, Lord, no matter how good I think I am, You are awesome. You are far beyond me. You are great and You are greatly to be praised. That's what happens when we praise God. He is reasserted as King in our lives. The psalmist in 16:11 said this, in His presence there is fullness of joy. That when we praise God and He shows up and He's enthroned on our praises, that means we're also in His presence. And when we are, there is fullness of joy. There's fullness of joy even if I'm sick and I haven't been healed. There's fullness of joy even if I'm struggling with something and it haven't been delivered. There's fullness of joy even if I don't have the provision that I think I need. God is at work in our praise. Psalm 103, 2 and 4 tells us this. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, that when we praise God, we remember his blessings. When we bless the Lord, O my soul, I forget not all of your benefits. I don't forget all the great things that you've done for me." That's what happens when we praise. When we praise God, he works on our behalf. Acts 16, the musicians come. Acts 16 tells the story of Paul and Silas. They are in prison for preaching the gospel. They are awaiting trial or to meet with the officials the next day. And it says this, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were loosed." That when they began to praise God, God began to work. He works when we praise him. In this instance, it was the engine. It wasn't the caboose. It was the engine that brought about God's work and God's action and God's deliverance. That's what God does. He works on our behalf when we praise him. 2 Chronicles 20 tells a story of Judah and Israel. They are under King Jehoshaphat, and they are battling the enemy. And this is what it says, New Living Translation. "Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, 'Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed.' After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. The king said, 'What we're going to do, we're facing this battle. We're not going to sharpen our swords. We're not going to oil up our shields. But we're going to praise God.' He appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: 'Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever.'" And I don't know if they said it one time or 300 times. I don't know if they just kept repeating it over and over. "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." But however many times they said it, I can just tell you this, it was praise to God. And God began to work on their behalf. Verse 22, "At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the armies of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped." That when we begin to praise God, he works on our behalf. And when we begin to praise God, the enemies that are attacking us, and right now it's not physical enemies. Nobody's coming at us with swords and spears. But we do have an enemy of our soul who wants to bring us down, who wants to destroy us. And when we praise God, God pushes back the darkness. When we praise God, he pushes back the enemy. When we praise God, good things happen. When we praise God, we are fulfilling his plan and his purpose. Let's stand together. I realize that for some it's unusual, it's out of the ordinary for some of your experience. But I want us to just gather around the front for a few minutes today. Don't want to ask God for anything. Don't want to say, God, I need you to do this for me, and will you do that? Just want you to give God praise. You can do it however you want to. You can clap your hands. You can lift your hands. You can jump up and down. You can do whatever, however you want to praise God. If you have a need, don't ask God to meet your need. Thank Him. Praise Him in advance for meeting your need. That whatever it is, if it's provision, if it's healing, if it's deliverance, thank Him in advance for doing it. That's not manipulating God. That's fulfilling. That's what He's asked us to do. We thank Him in advance. We praise Him in advance.